Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Corporation Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harmish Desai from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nikita. Good evening and welcome to the second quarter and half-year FY25 earnings call of Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited hosted by PhillipCapital. From the management, we have Mr. Sailesh Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Deepak Rastogi, President and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Tarun Sinha, President, Technical Ammonium Nitrate, Mr. Suparas Jain, VP Corporate Finance, and Ms. Pallavi Bhalla, Head Investor Relations. I would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Sailesh Mehta, followed by Mr. Deepak Rastogi for an update on financial performance, post which we'll have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Harmish. Very good afternoon to all of you, and I would like to warmly welcome each one of you in this Q2 FY25 earnings call. I hope you had a chance to run through our earnings presentation, press release, and the details which have been updated on our website, and I hope you have had an opportunity to somewhere study them, but let me share with you some of the highlights as I see in the quarterly results, so at the outset, let me have the joy in sharing the highlights of the quarterly results from the positive change that we have seen. The consolidated revenues grew by 13% and have crossed rupees 2,700 crores for the quarter. EBITDA grew by 73% and stands to around 494 crores. The margins grew from 12% to 18%, and all of it culminating into a 237% jump in the net profit to 214 crores for the quarter. Now, what of these have undercurrents that are once-off? What are short-term? What are the undercurrents that will sustain and grow over a period? Could be the rightful curiosities from a strategic perspective. And let me share some of my thoughts on these areas. A good monsoon, while strongly supporting the crop nutrition business, did bring some expected dampening in the mining and chemicals business. However, going forward, while the enhanced water levels in the soil and the dams promise continued good agriculture season for Rabi, leading right up to next Kharif, the clearing of the monsoons should trigger the revival of the mining sector, chemical sector in the second half. In terms of the longer-term and sustaining undercurrents, I would like to reiterate four major ones. So number one, quarter after quarter, we continue to get a very good positive validation of the beautiful alignment of all our three businesses with the India growth story. The demand drivers continue to remain robust, and we see that undercurrent emerging from India's needs for coal power or limestone cement or infrastructure, all of it giving very good tailwinds for the mining chemicals business. And so also the growing income levels, mid-income group levels growing, and their food habits moving to more of fruits and vegetables, aligning beautifully with our crop nutrition business. And so also the China Plus One and the move towards more and more specialty chemicals supports our industrial chemicals business. So number one, the first undercurrent which we are seeing play out quarter after quarter and having a sustaining positive effect has been this beautiful alignment with the India growth story. Second that we see is a positive play emerging out of our backward integration into ammonia. And as you are well aware that, you know, the new ammonia world scale ammonia plant kicked in sometime back. And what it has done.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have management with us. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, is my voice clear? It got suddenly disconnected.
Yes, sir, now it is clear. Please
okay.
go ahead.
So as I was saying, the second undercurrent that we are seeing panning out is our backward integration into the ammonia plant, which a world scale ammonia plant that came up short while back. And what we are seeing is that it is emerging to be a very strong risk mitigator and a value capturer for us, and a very strong stabilizing foundation for all our downstream businesses. More so as we look at the disturbing situation emerging in the Middle East, and we were just thinking that if we didn't have the ammonia plant, our dependence on a critical raw material coming from the Middle East would have been a matter of deep concern because of the issues emerging there and the shipping costs and so on and so forth. So this aspect of it is going to be a great risk mitigator to have our own ammonia facility across our current complex. Plus the price volatility that would emerge on the ammonia front will now be captured within the group rather than, you know, us being at the mercy of the pricing that will emerge out of a war-like situation. The third undercurrent that I'm seeing, which will have an ongoing strong impact, is our intense and committed strategic journey from commodity to specialty based on very strong R&D and deep consumer segmentation and insights. In the crop nutrition business, we are seeing a growing basket of crop-specific nutrients and a growing and strong market acceptance on its efficacy, obviously in terms of improvement in yield, but also in terms of the quality of the produce. We have also now begun with the introduction of crop-specific water-soluble fertilizers. So the journey continues with, I would say, very strong drive in the fertilizer business for sure. Even in the industrial chemicals business, we are finding good inroads with the steel-grade nitric acid and the pharma-grade IPA. And in the mining chemical business, the team has executed over 15 TCO projects, besides proving aldan-based N4 as a huge value addition for the end-user segment. So the third undercurrent that I'm seeing, which will have a long-term impact, is the committed drive from commodity to specialty or holistic solutions. The fourth undercurrent that promises to have also a long-term sustaining impact is the recent NCLT approved restructuring and demerger. What it will end up doing is not only unwind and unfold the real strengths of each of the businesses, but will bring the end-to-end focus right from the board member right down to the lowest officer for that specific business, and of course make us attractive propositions for strategic alliances and global joint ventures. Now beyond these four sustaining undercurrents that I shared, namely the alignment with the India growth story, the backward integration that ammonia brings, the commodity to specialty drive, and the corporate restructuring, there are two other developments that I would like to share, which you may have read about. One is, of course, fire anti-dumping duty on IPA will also have a good long-term sustaining impact, both on the top line and bottom line of the industrial chemicals business. And the second is we are seeing a very strong, fast-paced CAPEX plan executing the technical ammonium nitrate Gopalpur project and the Dahej nitric acid project. And those will have lasting positive undercurrents. And unlike other typical CAPEX programs, these two CAPEXs are hugely risk mitigated in view of, number one, the 40 years of operating experience behind these projects. We are not doing anything new. I mean, we have experience of running TAN facilities and nitric acid facilities over the last 40 years. So no unknown areas, whether it is in terms of safety, health, environment, operations, rules, regulations. The second is that for both the products, we will be entering a market again where we have been there for the last 40 years. It is, you know, nothing new in terms of creating new customers or new distribution networks, nothing. All of it will be stepping into something which we have been doing since the last 40 years. And of course, in both the cases, the demand drivers continue to be aligned with the India growth story. So we feel that those CAPEX plans are hugely risk mitigated. So now with this strategic overview, let me now hand you over to Mr. Deepak Rastogi to share the nitty-gritty and detailed figures and also questions that you may have. And before I end, all my very best to each of you and your families for Deepavali. Thank you. Deepak?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mehta. Am I audible? You're loud and clear?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you joining us today for Deepak Fertilizers and Petrochemicals conference call to discuss our results for the second quarter and for the first half of financial year 25. I'm pleased to report that our performance for this quarter is a reflection of resilience and strategic initiatives we have undertaken in the recent years. We have achieved total operating revenue of 2,747 crores with an operating EBITDA of 494 crores. This is for the second quarter of this year. This translates to an EBITDA margin of approximately 18%, representing significant year-on-year growth of approximately 690 basis points. The net profit for the quarter soared to 214 crores, reflecting a 237% increase compared to the same period last year. On the balance sheet side, we continue to work on the deleverage of debt. We have prepaid 200 crores of debt ahead of the schedule. Therefore, overall debt has come down during the quarter. I would not like to dwell deeper into the performance of our businesses. So during, this is for the crop nutrition business, performance during the Q2 of 25 for crop nutrition business, the sales volume of manufactured bulk fertilizers achieved is 268,000 metric tons, marking extraordinary growth of 83% over Q2 of last financial year, which is financial year 24. This quarter stands out as one of the best performances in the company's history. Our strategic focus on high-performing products have started bearing fruits. Favorable monsoon conditions in core markets allowed us to drive sales of specialty fertilizers like CropTech Smartec. Sales of CropTech reached 37,000 metric tons, reflecting a robust year-on-year growth of 70%. Our targeted campaigns for crops such as cotton and sugarcane have been effective to grow revenues. We continue to focus on high-quality specialty fertilizers like Solutec for grapes and tomatoes. Looking ahead to Q3, the above normal monsoon rain has greatly enhanced the ground level water, promising strong Rabi season. We anticipate increased acreages for Rabi crush crop, particularly sugarcane, onion and potato. Regarding industrial chemicals business, you know, nitric acid volumes slightly decreased, you know, by 1% on YOY basis, while IPA volumes actually fell by 10% YOY. Despite that, the revenues overall for the industrial chemicals business actually grew by 9%. IPA volumes were declined due to process constraints and plant shutdown. As you are aware that the anti-dumping duty has been implemented from October 22nd of this year for a duration of 5 years, which should actually help the domestic manufacturers sustain margins going forward. The specialty stainless steel grade nitric acid has received positive feedback from the customers, and we continue to work to enhance the revenues from that perspective. Demand and margin for nitric acid are expected to remain stable over the next few quarters. RGP-based IPA demand and margins are expected to be stable and improving following the implementation of the anti-dumping duty on Chinese suppliers over the next few quarters. Regarding the mining chemicals business, the Alden sales volume increased by 16% YOY and 20% from a first half of, you know, this year as compared to the first half of the last year. Overall sales volume decreased by 21% YOY in Q2, attributed to the plant shutdown and the lean period due to monsoon. Overall revenues fell by 8% YOY, while in the first half the volumes declined marginally by 1% of similar, you know, half of the last year, while revenues rose by 6% YOY. The plant undertook a plant shutdown of maintenance activities to complete capacity debottlenecking, resulting in increased capacity of from 537 KTPA to 587 KTPA. Consequently, production volumes were lower by 21% YOY, and as because it was planned. Looking forward, we expect the demand recovery in Q3 supported by growth in coal, cement and steel production. In summary, our strong performance this quarter is a testament of strategic initiatives we have undertaken, like backward integration and moving from commodity to specialty, and also introducing innovative product offerings, you know, to our customers and consumers. We believe the steps we are taking will position us for a sustained growth in the future. Now I will open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. The first question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the overall numbers and the margins. So how do you see the trend of margins going forward? Like, we can expect 18% to be a steady state EBITDA margin?
Yeah, Just to clarify, are you asking for the consolidated 18% is what you are saying, or it is a business specific number?
Consolidated.
Yeah, I think we have been actually delivering these numbers over the past few quarters, and we think we have got that a sustainable level going forward. Obviously, there will always be some cyclicality involved, going up and down within the band, but that should be the way to go forward.
Also, regarding the new proposed corporate structure, right, the demerged entities, would they be separately listed?
So the plan obviously is that each business would be separately listed at appropriate point in time.
Okay, like 1 to 2 years down the line?
So there is no timeline as such, but obviously we would provide the timelines as we take those decisions going forward.
Also, what's your roadmap on being net debt free? Like, in how many years do you envision, or like any plans for that, sir? And what's your take on the steady state ROCE of the business?
So purely from a net debt perspective, as you know that we already have two expansion plans which are continuing going forward. One is for Gopalpur and the other is for Dahej. And hence, given that the repayments only starts post the CODs, which is the commissioning happens, and hence the deleverage of the balance, the debt would happen after that. However, the normal repayments cycles for all the businesses continues the way it is, and whenever we have an opportunity, like we had an opportunity this quarter, we are able to at least fast forward or expedite some of those repayments ahead of schedule.
By the year end, how much net debt do you think you will be having?
So, from a gross perspective, currently, we have, delivered around 3,600 crores, or 3,500 crores, 600 crores. So, I would say that, additional drawdown of maybe around for the projects, so there will be no other drawdowns, but we are expecting around 300 to 400 crores worth of additional drawdowns for our new projects, going forward. So, give or take, a gross number would be closer to maybe around 4,000 again, around that number is what we are expecting right now.
By the year end, all right. And also on the ROCE front, right? So, what do you think would be the steady state ROCE of the business?
So we will have to really work that out, because there are two new projects which are coming in, and the EBITDA for those projects would only start obviously kicking in from effectively for on a yearly basis close of around 26-27, right? That's the financial year. And generally the idea is that all the IRRs effectively of the new projects should be between 18 to 20%. So if they actually, if we continue to deliver this, the ROC will be far more, obviously very, very high in terms of the deliveries. But till the time that happens, because there is a capex which is happening and there is no EBITDA to that, obviously the ROC will be depressed for now.
All right, got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainam from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question is, what was our contribution from ammonia savings in this quarter?
So, what we have done is that, so first of all, thank you so much, for your compliments, but purely from a overall contribution on EBITDA side, it is closer to around 45 to 50 crores, that's the number which we have, and these numbers would actually improve once the ammonia prices continues to go up, and which we have been actually seeing those indications now. And mostly Q3 and Q4, when the winter kicks in, obviously, you know, we have seen the ammonia prices actually, which is FOBME, hardens, and it is closer to around 400 to 450. So if that happens, obviously the margins would further improve going forward.
At the current level of ammonia, what could be the contribution that you will be making on per ton at $430, which you indicated for the month of October?
So, you know, we don't, we basically don't, you know, obviously provide that data specifically, but I can tell you that, you know, and which we have been consistently telling that, you know, if the ammonia prices are closer to $300 FOBME, we would be obviously, you know, contribution positive. If we are, if the ammonia prices are $400 plus FOBME, you know, we would be PBT positive. And, you know, that will continue. So, obviously, the other thing which, obviously, we have been reinforcing it, and in fact, Mr. Mehta also made the point, you know, if the ammonia prices are slightly lower, obviously, the benefit flows into the other businesses. If the ammonia prices are actually higher, the benefit stays in the ammonia, you know, business, and obviously, you know, it doesn't flow through the other business. But overall, from a consolidated perspective, it will not have much of a difference, you know, across the company and across the group, as we will capture the benefit or expense, both sides, you know, within the group. So it would not have it. But obviously, if you are looking independently this business, yes, you know, there will be some cyclicality involved based on the ammonia prices, how it actually moves.
Sir, given the recent uptick in the ammonia prices, which was about, had gone down 300, now back to 430, how do you see a global demand supply playing out in terms of ammonia and in terms of the pricing? I mean, the broader sense, you can help us understand.
So as far as the global, you know, economics is concerned, you can actually get through the history of, you know, how the prices have actually behaved. But, you know, most of the time, you know, the prices have ranged between $400 to $450 FOBME most of the time. There are variabilities in between. You know, we saw last quarter, you know, the prices were closer to around, you know, $275 to $300. This quarter we are looking, you know, which is Q2, we saw, you know, it's inching up to around $350. Going forward, and all the time, you know, Q3 is definitely, and Q3 and Q4 are from an ammonia pricing perspective higher because of the harsh winters. If it goes through, then the demand goes up, and hence, you know, the prices actually have an impact on the same.
Thank you. Also, second question, I mean, just for the earlier participant, in terms of the CapEx, you indicated that there will be additional 300-400 crores of drawdown during this fiscal year. And since now both the project Gopalpur and the nitric acid project is likely to come out soon in second half of FY26, so what is the incremental capex that we will be spending in financial year 26, and post the completion of this capex, what will be our debt, peak debt?
So, you know, if I were to sum up, you know, what you are asking is that, you know, we are expecting the peak debt to hit sometimes in financial year, you know, end of financial year 25-26 or early 26-27 to be closer to around 6,000 crores, you know, because we basically have to incur closer to almost 3,000 crores, you know, both put together, and 30% of that would come from the equity, and the balance would be, you know, raised through the debt.
So 6,000 crores will be a peak that one can probably assume by either end of next fiscal year. Now, sir, if you want to break up, because if you look, Mr. Mehta, his opening remark indicated regarding the sustainable growth driver, and one of the sustainable growth drivers for the our business was the demerger. So, can you help us in understand the total 6,000 crores or current 4,000 crores of the debt which is there in the book? How does it bifurcate between the various verticals that is going to get demerged?
So, you know, obviously we can send you the details separately, but, you know, it is based on the projects which businesses. So, let's say for our mining chemicals business, the Gopalpur Obviously, plant debt would actually be added there. As far as the Dahej nitric acid is concerned, obviously it will come to the industrial chemicals business, which is under DFPCL. But we can share that data separately. I do not have the data right away.
Sure. So that's all from our side. Thank you and best wishes for the festive season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Kotak from Plus 91 Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate you and your team, sir, for a great set of numbers. Most of my questions, again, have been answered. One question that I have, sir, is the impact of facility downtime. Taloja faced downtime for IPA and nitric acid production. Can you share when this capacity utilization will return to normal and if repairs will have any impact on this quarter's EBITDA margins?
So, just to give you a sense that part that, irrespective of whether it is a planned or it is an unplanned, downtime, we are actually looking to operate our plants between a capacity of around 92% to 98%. That is the kind of capacity utilization we have in all the actually plants currently, including ammonia, including nitric acid, including IP and things like that. And hence, wherever we will need to enhance the capacity, so, we had to actually enhance the capacities, let's say for our mining chemicals business. So we added that. There will be a needed, downtime for those products. We have been continuously doing preventive maintenance, for all the plants. And, we want to optimize it, but, this year, you would find that most of the facilities would actually be between, 92% to 95% capacity utilized. Ammonia would be an exception. It can be even higher than 100%.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. I think that sums up your views really well. So lastly, on the impact of ammonia on segment reporting, you mentioned earlier that ammonia profits are embedded in the chemicals business. Can we expect any changes to segment reporting post-expansion to provide better visibility into ammonia performance, or this is how we'd like to continue?
So for now, we will want to continue like this, but we will look into this to see whether we need to change our segmental reporting. Even though, on the yearly side, we provide the details for all the segments. For our ammonia business, in any case, we actually publish separate results and the consolidated results. So, you would have most of the details, but as you have actually requested, we will look into this and see if it is appropriate for us to change the reporting.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thanks for taking my question and wish you all the very best for the quarters to come.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsha from Rira Holding. Please go ahead. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Great numbers. Congratulations. And operating cash flow of almost 1100 crore was outstanding. So my first question is on the technical grade ammonium nitrate part of the business. So this quarter, if I see the realization has been almost flattish on QOQ basis. So just wanted to understand that have we not yet seen the benefits of higher ammonia prices flow through into our realization? That is one. And the second is once we have our debottlenecking capacity operative, what kind of growth in terms of volume are we seeing? Because I remember last few quarters we had seen a lot of imports coming from Russia. So any update on that situation in terms of import supply?
So, I will answer you in two parts. First of all, the monsoon season actually is a lean season for this business because of the water logging or, flooding in the mine. The mining activities actually are reduced. So in spite of that, the volumes have slightly have come down, but, they are not nowhere actually too much down, overall. That is number one. The second point which you made for on the pricing side, generally the ammonia prices do not decide how the TAN ammonia, the TAN prices actually works. So there is a commodity which is called Afghan fertilizer grade ammonium nitrate. That actually determines how the pricing and the premiums would be actually set in the marketplace. So I can tell you that versus last year, obviously the Afghan pricing globally has actually strengthened, and we have been, getting higher selling prices for our product versus last year. So the third question which you asked was that, excuse me.
Again, Mr. Harsha, there is a disturbance from your side.
Hello?
What is the issue?
Yeah. So can I continue? Yeah. So, from purely from an imports perspective, generally around 15 to 20% of the demand of India is catered through imports. This year, obviously there are Russian imports, but almost 40-50% imports are also from other countries apart from Russia, and hence we do not basically see much obviously challenge there, but that is going to continue overall.
That is helpful. And another question was for the industrial chemical business. Since we're expanding our nitric acid capacity, will this mostly be used for our captive consumption, or this will also be used for market sales?
So, for CNA, actually it is predominantly for market sales. So we have, tied up almost close to 65% of our capacities of our CNA with RC. The balance again will actually go on spot sales and things like that. As far as the diluted, which is DNA, which is or WNA, almost 50 to 60% actually is captured. The balance would be sold outside to, to the other district.
And in terms of end user industry, will we see any change in sales mix in terms of more product getting sold for value-added products, or will the sales mix or the end consumer remain same that we have currently?
No, so we have been actually improving our specialty grade sales over a period of time. So, obviously the customers, so we have, as you know, that we have added steel grade nitric acid for an example. We have added Purosol, which caters to mostly the hospitals or the pharmaceuticals and the disinfectant industry and things like that. Now, we have also, in a process to launch, for semiconductors, IP grade, those, products. Now, these are very much industry specific applications, which we will continue to develop. And hence, we will always have the similar base of the customers, which we will cater, which we have been catering to. But we will continue to add with the specialty. We will continue to add new customers going forward.
And just the last question, follow-up. Would you be able to give any numbers in percentage terms as to how much would be commodity-grade sales to fertilizer companies, speaking of nitric acid, and how much would be value-added, and where would this percentage stand, say, 2-3 years down the line?
So, we are currently at around 20%, 80-20. 80 is the normal grades, and, 20% are specialty grades. And, we are looking to at least, double this number over a period of couple of years.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot. Wishing you all a very happy Diwali. Thank you, sir.
You too.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heath from Manivi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to know, do we have any progress with our mining services division, and have we secured any orders for that?
So, you know, we have already executed more than, you know, 15 projects or programs so far. And as we speak, you know, multiple projects are under progress at this point in time. So, you know, that's a work in progress, and it is only going to increase and improve going forward.
Okay. And what sort of margins do we look at when we take these services, these mining services contracts?
So generally what happens is that, you know, the product margin stays because, you know, we are selling the product and all, but for the services, you know, there is an additional margin that is based on what are the project or the, you know, program details. You know, how much is the benefits which gets accrued to the customer, based on which, you know, we basically decide how much will be the premium we will charge for our services. So it is not obviously a single number, but, you know, if I were to give you a ballpark number, maybe, you know, 10%-15%, you know, over and above what we do, obviously will become a normal benchmark going forward, as, you know, we actually improve the and increase the kitty of the TCO programs going forward.
Okay. Thank you, and good luck for the next few years.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushal Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Thank you. So I have two questions. My first question is that we have seen many changes recently in the top management. That is, Mr. Amitabh Bhargava resigned last year, and now Mr. Deepak Rastogi is going to resign. We have so much of CapEx plans, and how do we plan to stabilize the top management? And would Mr. Subhash Sanand, who will be joining in the position of Deepak Rastogi, continue for so many years? Like, do the shareholders have that kind of assurance? And second question would be on the lines of mining chemicals, and it's particularly how Deepak Fertilisers would have an edge over the existing experienced miner, and how difficult or easy it is to replicate the total cost of ownership model that we have built. Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, on the first question, obviously the company has a very good pipeline in terms of succession planning. You know, there will be management people or employees would actually join, new employees would join, and you know, some employees would actually leave. So that's a normal process of an organization. And the organization is well equipped to handle, you know, either the new expansions or the demergers and things like that. So given that, you know, we have seen this over the past 40 years, you know, all the IP and the knowledge actually resides in the processes and the companies. So I don't think so that, you know, that could be one of the concerns which, you know, we have. Obviously, we will, as we speak, you know, we continue to, you know, create more, you know, obviously experts and more, you know, people, you know, in the system, so that, you know, we do not have a vacuum in terms of succession planning, which is well actually matured, and it is obviously discussed at the board level also. So that is number one. On your question towards the TCU, I would hand it over to my colleague Tarun, Mr. Tarun Sinha, who will answer that, you know, whether it is easy for any other company to replicate the TCU model. You know, so I will over to you, Tarun.
Thank you. Let me reconfirm your question. What's your question on TCU?
Yes, sir, Tarun. So my question is, A, why do Deepak Fertilisers, a chemical company, would have an edge over the existing miners who have several years of experience in mining or, let us say, infrastructure? And second part of the question is, let us say some other player comes into the market, then how easy or difficult it is to replicate the total cost of ownership model for them?
Okay, thank you for your questions. So on the first part, we are not claiming in any form and shape that our knowledge base is much larger than the existing miners. What we do is, as it happens in the normal course of business, when in any organization, when there is a team of people working on the same thing over and over again, like it happens in a typical mine, then chances are high that areas of opportunities are overlooked, not because of any design, but it's just that it's normal way of working. So what we do in our total cost of ownership model is we send a team of people to the mines, do a baselining, benchmarking of their overall costs, which encompasses drilling, blasting, excavation, hauling, and crushing, wherever applicable, these operations, and spot opportunities for improvement. And then we, as we spoke earlier in one of the questions, we try to enter into some projects and contracts to help the mining companies to improve that cost. So that's the business model. On the second one, you know, whether any other company is able to replicate this, I think I've answered this question in some of the other calls earlier, in previous quarters. It is difficult. We don't know of any company which is working on this model. It is unique. And why it is unique is not just because of how we approach it, but it's also about how we contract, you know, these kinds of projects, which is a combination of the inputs that we provide and at the same time the outputs that we generate. So it's a very much outcome-based approach rather than an input-based approach, which is where most of the companies operate in this space. That's where we draw the difference in terms of our business model versus the others. Thank you.
Thanks for the answer. And one more question on how long will it take for TCO to mature and be a significant contributor in the revenue?
So we started this concept a couple of years back, and like it happens with any new concept, it matures over a period of time. We have come a long way already in terms of not only just building the capabilities, but also, as was mentioned by Mr. Deepak Rastogi earlier, by executing 15 odd projects in that direction. And these projects have been delivered in coal segment of the market, in the metal and limestone segment of the market, and also in the infrastructure segment of the market. So it's working quite nicely, it's maturing, and we are on the growth trajectories. We anticipate that as we go along, this will start becoming a bigger pie, you know, in our chunk.
Thanks a lot for the answers, Tarun and Mr. Deepak. Thanks. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jay Jariwala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I have two questions. My first question is based on, like you mentioned in the PPT, that we are going to launch a new IPA based on semiconductor growth. Like on according to which quarter we can expect the revenue kicking in from this particular segment, or it is in a very initial stage? Like, I want to just know the progress on this.
So, you know, we already have a product right now. Obviously, the scale is very, very small, given that, you know, the industry in India has to pick up. And, you know, this is like, you know, as this, because a lot of manufacturing activities have just started for semiconductors in India. And hence, you know, we expect this business to grow multifold. Till the time, you know, whatever activities which are there for, you know, domestic sales as well as for exports, you know, we continue to, you know, look at those opportunities and see, you know, what could be the best way to actually improve, obviously, our revenues, you know, in that particular segment.
Okay, sir. And the second question is on technical ammonium nitrate. So, like, we are seeing a couple of other companies like Coal India, and they have a joint venture for this particular ammonium nitrate. So they have specified as ammonium nitrate. So I just want to know whether this technical ammonium nitrate is different from an ammonium nitrate. Like, is the both the products are same, and the capacity which are going to be live by Coal India in somewhere FY26?
So, you know, obviously what Coal India is trying to do is that they are doing much more from a gasification, you know, coal gasification. That's what they are trying to do. And they have been working with BHEL to bring that kind of a technology. And in the previous quarters, I have actually mentioned that, you know, the technology as per them is not commercially viable. That's how they have actually reported in their annual report. So we have to see, you know, when they will actually bring in. But the products are same, you know, technical ammonium nitrate is the product which is used for explosive purposes for the mine. And they are trying to basically obviously create some in-house capabilities, you know, obviously with this joint venture, you know, going forward. But we have to see how it actually pans out.
Okay, sure, sir. Congratulations, and yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from GM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. So I have two questions. So one is on the TAN segment. So if we see there are two to three players who are adding capacities here, and also as you mentioned earlier, significant contribution is from imports. So now this is slightly longer term. Once we commission our additional capacity by end FY26, and I believe probably other players are also adding somewhere in FY26 or 27, and do we see a case that, you know, that could put pressure on pricing, and once we commission this capacity, we could see lower profitability? That is the first question. And second, it's slightly near term. So right now, from FY26 perspective, just wanted to understand, since we're already operating at such high capacity utilization levels, what sort of growth levers do we have? Is it only realization and profitability then, or is there a scope for volume expansion as well? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
So I will take the second question first and then go to the next question. So we already have, you know, got, you know, capped in terms of the capacity, and that is one of the reasons why we have actually added, you know, 50 KTP very, very recently, wherein we took a plant shutdown to increase the capacity, because today we do not have adequate capacities to actually service our own customers. That's number one. You know, coming back, and that is one of the reasons why we have actually gone for the expansion, because if you really see the coal, you know, mining or mining activity, power activity or infrastructure activity are slated to grow between 10 to 12% CAGR over a period of next at least 5 to 6 years, if not more. What this will do is that, you know, the current demand supply situation. So, you know, the current demand of India is close to almost 1.5 million tons, you know, at this point in time, or 1.6 million tons. With this pace of infrastructure growth and, you know, mining activity growth, you know, it would actually go to around 2.2 or 2.3 million tons, you know, per annum. The current capacities which are there, you know, on the ground is closer to around a million or 1.1 million tons. And hence, when I was making a comment that around 15 to 20% of the capacity, you know, demand is actually fed by imports, which is the case all the time. So, you know, going forward also, the new capacities which are coming in by through Chambal or RCF, you know, the capacities will move from, including our own, you know, the capacities will move from maybe 1.1 or 1 million to around 1.6 or 1.7 million tons. There would still be enough scope for the imports to continue. So when we have actually envisaged our project at Gopalpur, you know, we have assumed that a similar import would continue, given the kind of, obviously, the demand-supply situation in India. Now, these are normal scenarios. Obviously, if the demand comes down because of, you know, some blue swan events or, you know, some, you know, because there is a cyclicality, there could be few years which are more softer than others, but on a long-term basis, we are very confident that the capacities which are there on the ground will continue to be capacity utilized to the brim, and there will be few, you know, there will be hardly any case for us to say, you know, the capacities are not utilized. In fact, the way that we have been planning is that, you know, from day one, we are thinking, you know, because of the ramping and all, you know, the things would start between, you know, 60-70%, you know, capacity utilized from day one. That's the way it is. You know, and it is going to improve over a period of time. So that is how we are looking at this market.
Okay, got it. Understood. That was very helpful. And just one last question on our real estate venture. Is there any update or what's the plan here? I mean.
So the plan is that, obviously the business actually, we have a parcel of land. There is a business which does not needs, to be. It's a neutral, it's not materially, from a value perspective, from a revenue or profit or these things. And hence, we will continue to run that business. And, whenever we need it to, we will have an asset to, liquid it if at all. We get obviously good pricing and things like that appropriately. But currently, there is no need for us. There are no pressing reasons for us to take those actions.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak Rastogi for closing comment.
Thank you all of you for taking the time to participate in Deepak Fertilisers and Petrochemicals Limited conference call. I again wish everyone on the call a very happy Diwali and a good prosperous New Year to all of you. Thank you so much.
On behalf of PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.